Blog Talk Radio.
You find out life's this game of inches. So is football. Because in either game, life or football, the margin for error is so small. I mean, one half a step too late or too early, and you don't quite make it. One half second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. The inches we need are everywhere around us.
Hell yeah.
They're in every break of the game. Every minute, every second. On this team, we fight for that inch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch.
Good evening, all, and welcome in to another Frat House Sports' Red Zone Blitz program. Frat House, Mike coming to you here on, oh my goodness, what's the date? November 4th? Yeah, how about that one? Hard to believe we're in the early part of November and beginning tomorrow evening. Week 9 of the NFL season begins. That there marking the exact midpoint of the season. Also a little strange, I got to be honest. It feels a little weird not having been on the air since Saturday. That's just a little weird. You know, I'm so used to having that MLB program, our MLB Major League Baseball program on Tuesday evenings. But nonetheless, we're here with you this evening, and we will be here for the next hour and a half or so. We're going to break down, as we usually like to say, the week that was in week 8 in the NFL. And it's a weird looking NFL right now, folks. Some could say it's an NFL like we've never seen before. I mean, for instance, start just with this, that right now we have four unbeaten teams in the league at 7-0. The NFL has never, ever had four unbeaten teams at this point in the season. This is the first time ever. So anomaly one right there. What else happened last weekend? Well, hey, listen. Injuries ruled the day. That is, unless you were the New Orleans Saints and the New York Giants, in which case it was points ruled the day. 101 of them in that game. Dear Lord. Yeah, we're going to talk about that game as well. And we're going to talk about all of those, wow, incredible, incredible injuries that we saw to key position players all across the league. And, in the aftermath of last week, we've had two teams that have had, some coaching kind of managerial changes. Yeah, Tennessee and the Indianapolis Colts. One lost the head coach. The other got themselves a new offensive coordinator. It was a momentous week 8 was in the NFL. I'm sure that we can expect more of that as we continue to go forward. To get into all of these things, I gotta get my Wednesday evening sidekick in here with me. That's Brandon, joining me to jump in on the week that was. When you start to look at it, Brandon, a little bit, kind of the way that I just did there, when you start to think about, my gosh, the injuries that ruled the week, the fact that there are four unbeaten teams in the NFL, we've never had that before. Two more teams making coaching changes. You start to look at it and go, yeah, you know what? Week 8, really, there was a lot that kind of went on, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. It was a crazy week. I mean, as you pointed out, lots of injuries, lots of points in some games, coaching changes in the aftermath. It's definitely been an interesting week for sure.
The injuries, and I've got just a short list. I don't know if you have a list that's any more complete. Excuse me. But some of the biggest names on the injury list. Steelers, Le'Veon Bell, done for the season. Chicago Bears, Matt Forte. Mercifully, this looked worse when it, apparently the initial reports were a little worse than what they were, I guess, coming out of things, coming out of the Bears location yesterday. Originally, it looked like it was going to be a, you know, a multiple game, could have been a long-term type of situation. Apparently, now the word is Matt Forte might miss maybe 2 weeks. We'll see. Steve Smith Sr. for the Ravens, out for the season. Seahawks, Ricardo Lockett. This was probably the scariest-looking one of them all this past weekend, as it took a while to clean up the and I don't mean that, and, you know, that sounded bad, to clean it up. But, I mean, it took a while to get them off because they had to bring the stretchers out, and, you know, they had them completely immobilized. And but apparently he looked pretty good going on the way out the door. Kyrie Robinson from the Saints, he's done for the season. Ryan Fitzpatrick had to be replaced with Geno Smith for a thumb injury. Apparently now the word I got today was he will start this coming Sunday. Am I missing any other big ones?
Keenan Allen for the Chargers is done for the year as well.
That's
he went on IR.
That's right.
And
he's
been, like, on fire for them. I believe he's leading the league in receptions, maybe yards. Not so many touchdowns, but, you know, he has a few.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. That's a big loss for them. Not that the Chargers are really going anywhere in a hurry, but, you know, you still hate to see, you know, the top receiver of a team go down.
I guess speaking selfish.
Calvin Johnson also got a little dinged up for the Lions, but they're on a bye, so shouldn't affect him.
Okay.
You know, it looks like he'll be good to go after the bye.
All right, so the list is just long. Yeah, it really is. But I think we probably picked up on all of the key top ones anyhow. For all of us that play fantasy, I mean, you know, if you had more than a couple of your fantasy managers in any one given room watching games, I'm sure it was just one groan after another, after another, after another around a room. I know that I took a hit with Matt Forte, and then, of course, Kyrie Robinson I had on my bench, so I took a hit on that one. My goodness, it really took its toll on a number of teams. Real quick, I don't know if you've got any updates on some of these. So Steve Smith apparently indicated, or has he indicated, because I got conflicting reports on that. You know, this is a season-ending injury, and, of course, he had already indicated this was going to be his last season. After, 16 years? I think 16 seasons in the league. But then there was a report that came out that he had indicated, or like I said, maybe he didn't, I'm not sure, that he had indicated, well, all right, back up the bus there. Under these circumstances, maybe I will come back one more time next year. You got anything more on that one?
I haven't heard anything official. I'd be surprised if he'd actually really announce anything. I mean, at his age and a nasty recovery, I think he'd probably prefer to wait and see how, you know, the injury responds. I mean, an Achilles tendon, we've seen that before where, you know, it just takes them a long time. They got the ACL thing down almost to where the recovery's less than the Achilles. But the Achilles is still a tough one for them to, return from, especially somebody like him who's running and cutting. And, you know, you can't deny the guy's been very effective this year, but I think he's I know he's in his late 30s. I want to say he's like 37. I don't know that, you know, I guess it depends on, you know, what kind of healer he is. I don't think he wants to go out that way. It's just a matter of if he'll be able to You know who it reminds me a lot of is Reggie Wayne. He had an injury late in his career, and, you know, he wanted to play. He didn't want to go out on an injury, but he just never was the same, and he couldn't come back. And, he was already, well into his, 30s, and same kind of deal with Steve Smith. And, I hope he gets, I hope he does come back. I'd like to see him not go out like that, but I haven't seen anything officially either way. But, I got to think you don't want to, end that way.
I'm sure as you're indicating, any kind of comment right now would be viewed as being emotional. So, hold off on that. Don't be making anything. Don't say anything really officially about it. I'm in agreement with you. I'd kind of like to see him go out the right way. Of course, I think, the question I think one has to ask any longer or really anymore in this NFL the way we know it. Can any of these real skill position players, a running back or a wide receiver, even tight ends, quarterbacks, obviously everybody's intention is to go into a season, I'm going to play the whole season. But how often does it really happen any longer? It seems like you're always going to have almost, it seems like every single one of your skill player positions is going to miss a couple of games a season, a couple of games, every single one of them. I'm trying to think even just on my own fantasy team with, and forgetting buys, I would venture a bet that a good number of just my own skill position players on my roster probably have missed already at least a game, or at least a half a game, or something to that effect. In Smith's case, it being a season ending, that's where you would like to see it a little bit different. I mean, even if he were only to come back next year and play, a handful of games, but at least be able to play the whole season and go out the way, I would agree with you. Yeah, it's 16 years. He's been in the league 16 years, and he is 36 years old at the moment right now. But four unbeaten teams right now, Brandon, something that we have not seen in the NFL in its history. Patriots, Bengals, Broncos, Panthers, two of those teams, in my opinion, made nice recoveries to kind of perhaps maybe secure their unbeaten position last week, the Broncos and the Panthers. And when I say secure, I mean, I made the point right here, I think, last week, that the Denver Broncos, in my opinion, were the weakest of the unbeaten teams. As you pointed out, and we're going to take a look at that game here momentarily, they played very, very well. Peyton looked better than he has probably all season long. And so they probably elevated themselves a bit in the eyes of some of the other unbeaten teams. The Panthers as well, I think, kind of put an exclamation point on it on Monday night when, and despite the fact that game went to overtime and it was a close one against the Colts, that's a team that really hasn't gotten the respect, I think, well, now, perhaps maybe they deserve, as being an unbeaten team. Any thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think you're both teams, as you said, kind of solidified themselves. I think the Broncos have been playing great defense all year, but I think the offense looked a lot better than it's been. And Carolina, that game was very impressive. They did a nice job with the, both sides of the ball, really. They were good on defense, and they were pretty balanced on offense. They don't have the most weapons for Cam at wide receiver, especially considering Kelvin Benjamin went out early with a season-ending injury. So, I think they're doing really good with what they have. I mean, it's a little scary if you look at it from, Cam Newton's point of view, because Cam's, really out there running a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot more than you'd probably like to see your starting quarterback run in the NFL. But, it's working, so I guess they just go with it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's one of the things that kept coming up on the Monday night crew. They brought it up a number of times.
Right.
And we saw Cam take a number of hits. And you know, when you get those lower, helmet to the side of the leg, you know, the upper thigh, and then you start getting down into that joint area. Oh man, alive! It's some scary stuff to watch when you've got a quarterback out there running in an open field and they're taking that side hit. Oof! But all right, well, we're going to talk a little bit about that. I'm going to pose a question to you here in a moment, Brandon. I'll tell you what, I'll pose to you the very question that I'm putting out right now to everybody that's listening. If you want to participate in our Frat House Sports' NFL poll of the evening, poll question of the evening, and the question is, will there be a 16-0 team in 2015? Will there be a 16-0 team? Could a team go unbeaten? What do you think, Brandon? Could there be of these four? What do you think? Who's got the best chance?
I think it's possible. I mean, New England and Denver play each other, so one of them, unless they end in a tie, is going to lose. I'm not sure about Cincinnati scheduled the rest of the way. I got to like their chances the way they're playing right now. You know, either New England or Denver has the ability to do it. I mean, Denver's defense is, you know, shaping up to be, you know, one of the best moving forward that, you know, that we've seen in a while, you know, like the Ravens and Bears, you know, teams that have won Super Bowls, you know, on the backs of their defense. And, you know, if the offense just keeps improving like it has this past week, you know, look out. They could be a threat going down the way. Just looking at the schedule real quick, Cincinnati actually has to go to Denver as well. So at least two of the four or three of the four undefeated teams that are left are going to end up playing each other at some point. Mm-hmm. You know, Denver got two of them left on their schedule at the moment. I don't know, but I it could happen. I mean, I know I looked at the Patriots schedule the other day when we were kind of talking about it. Their only really tough game left is the Broncos, if you look at it. There's nothing scary about the rest of the schedule, short of division matchups, which, you know, always are.
Always a challenge, but, yes.
The one last Thursday night wasn't really a problem for them with, you know,
Miami.
With Miami, and that usually is. Another quick note here of the schedule. Carolina has a couple tough games. They have Green Bay coming to Carolina this week, and Green Bay's got to be a little sore after that, you know, shellac in Denver put on them. They also have to play Atlanta again, actually twice. They act because they're division rival. They haven't played them yet. They play them twice in 3 weeks towards the end of the year. That might be a little stumbling block for Carolina. You know, division team, and Atlanta's been a pretty solid team. I mean, they lost this last week, but I think they've been a solid team all year. So, you know, it's possible, but it's probably not going to happen. I would think everybody's going to lose something. You know, it's very unlikely, you know, to get these undefeated seasons. So,
well, yeah,
you know, my guess is we're not going to have any 16-0s. It's entirely possible, but, you know, we already know by, you know, the fact that some of them are playing each other that it, you know, the number is going to be less than four for sure. It's not possible to have four.
You know, looking at that Carolina Panthers schedule for the remainder of the season, they get by this Packers team, though, and I hear what you're saying about the two games with Atlanta. And, you know, that's really some odd scheduling when you look at that Atlanta matchup there, because they play Atlanta at home, and then they go to New York, and then they go to Atlanta. And to have that only broken by one game in between is a little odd. You don't normally see that. But they get by the Packers this week, which I think is going to be a very, very tough thing to do, despite the fact the Packers are going to Carolina. And the reason I say it's I think it's going to be tough is because the Packers are coming off the loss from last week. And that would mean then the Packers would drop two in a row. Wow, okay, now everybody's going to be sitting up, you know, and Aaron's going to be coming out doing his RELAX thing. But if they get by the Packers, it's a pretty soft schedule for them up until they got to play that Falcons team on December 13th. They would then go Titans, Redskins, Cowboys, Now, of course, Cowboys will have Romo back by that point, and it's in Dallas. But Titans, Redskins, Cowboys, Saints, and then you go to Falcons on December 13th. So, interesting situation shaping up there for the Packers. Panthers, rather. Very interesting situation. And if anybody wants to jump in with us, please don't hesitate. 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us here at Frat House Sports. 347-826-9964. If you're Skype capable, jump in with us that way if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio. Otherwise, leave us a message in the chat room or respond over on our over to me at Twitter at Frat House Mike, where I just put up that poll question. Will there be a 16-0 team in 2015? Go ahead, Brandon.
I was just going to make a note, a comment on the Packers quick. Imagine their schedule draw. They're probably not real pleased about having to go to Denver and then go to Carolina and face back-to-back undefeated in the middle of the season. Yeah. Not a lucky draw for them from a scheduling point of view, for sure.
Of course, yeah. And with due respect, not too many people, I think, really thought that the Packers were going to lose last week. You were one on our panel that said, you picked the Broncos. But not too many people, I think, had picked the Broncos to win that one, despite the fact they were coming off of their bye. I hear you. It's the beauty of the NFL and the way the schedules work out sometimes. Let's do this real quick. Let me get our good friend Richard from New York in, who we haven't heard from in a little while. Richard, what do you think? Is there going to be will we have an unbeaten team at the end of the season?
If it is, it's probably the Patriots.
I thought you were going to say the Bears. Oh, no, 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 no.
No, no, I don't think so.
You think the Patriots of the four teams that are listed, huh?
What are the four teams?
The Bengals, the Patriots, the Broncos, and the Panthers.
I think the Patriots have the best shot. They're so good.
I actually think it's the Panthers, based on the schedule. I really, if there is one, I don't think there will be. I'm in agreement with Brandon. I don't think there will be, but I think if there is one that could do it, based on the schedule that we just looked at, and Brandon, what you said that the Patriots played already. Let's see, the Patriots will play the Broncos, right?
Yes, and that game is in Denver.
And
it's
the
a
Bengals,
Sunday night game too, so it'll be a national.
That's a heck of a game.
Right. What's the date on that one again, Brandon?
I think it's like late November. I think it's the Sunday night of Thanksgiving weekend, that is. It's like 29th. Yeah, it's the 29th.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then the Bengals will also play the Broncos, I think you indicated.
Yeah, the Bengals and Broncos play like the second or third from the end.
Okay,
you know, like week 15 or 16.
Let me pull up the Denver schedule here real quick, and I'll just I should have already had it open, but
the Bengals can't beat the Broncos.
Well, I don't see. Boy, oh boy. I don't know. I'm still not. That game will be in Denver. That is on December 28th.
That's a win for the Broncos.
Yeah, I would think so, too. I mean, just looking at the schedule, if you go by the schedule, I would have to say that would be. That is assuming, of course, that the Broncos are playing the way that we saw them play this past week. And, I'm not sold on the Broncos yet. That's my problem. They've been too inconsistent this year. Boy, I was glad to see them play really, really well, the other day against Green Bay. But I just... That was one game. They're going to have to come out, and they're going to have to do it repeatedly. They're going to play Indianapolis this week. I haven't looked at the lines on it, but my guess would be that obviously the Broncos I would think would be favored. But they'll play the Lions, they'll play the Chiefs, the Bears, and then they have the Patriots on right the November 29th. And that will be in Denver. Well, anyhow. What else on your mind there, Richard?
Wanted to ask you and your panel what they thought of the Giants game the Giants-Saint game, where the Saints came back to win 52-49.
Lots of points, that's for sure. I think both Brees had 7 touchdowns, and I believe Eli had 6. That's like, I think, the most touchdowns a quarterback ever had in a losing effort. It was, you know, kind of epic if you think about it. I think it was one of the top 8 point scoring totals in the NFL history. So you had a lot going on in that game.
A lot going on, I would say so. Yeah, you're absolutely right. There were 14 touchdowns in the game. There was a Giants defensive touchdown. You know, what can you say about it? Listen, there was no defense in this game. No defense in this game at all. Both quarterbacks played well. Brees had 2 interceptions, but when you look at the passer ratings and the QB ratings for both of these quarterbacks, very, 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 very good numbers. Eli was 30 of 41 for 350 yards. As Brady just said, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions. And Drew Brees, 39 of 50 for 505 yards.
That's incredible.
Where did that come from for Drew Brees?
505 yards.
I mean, absolutely incredible performance. You know, who was his top receiver for Drew Brees? Benjamin Watson, 9 receptions, 147 yards and a touchdown. Marquise Colston was number 2, 8 receptions, 114 yards for a touchdown. Brandon Cooks had 2 touchdowns. Willie Snead had 2 touchdowns. C.J. Spiller had a touchdown through the air. I mean, absolutely incredible. I think the other thing, again, that when you talk about a game like this one, that, obviously there's no defense. You would think in a high-scoring tilt like this one, there would have been a lot of turnovers, but there really weren't. I mean, yeah, you had the 2 interceptions from Drew Brees, but then you only had 1 fumble by the Giants and none from the New Orleans Saints. We watched, I guess we had this game on a little bit here at Frat House Sports, Brandon, but it wasn't front and center for us. So we weren't able to, really key in on everything. And at one point, if I'm not mistaken, this game was, 28-21 at the half, New Orleans. It stayed pretty – well, let's see. No, I guess by the beginning of the fourth quarter, New Orleans pretty much had it in hand. 28, they were up 42 to 28. They were up 42-28 going into the fourth quarter, and that's when the Giants went off. And they had 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. A monstrous game. I guess it was a good one for New Orleans that just needed a feel-good game. You know, they've had really a really bad season so far. That took their record to 4-4. I think for the New York Giants, it only throws more question marks at the team, doesn't it? I don't know. Any thoughts on it, either one of you?
Well, neither defense has much to have in the game. I mean, even a feel-good game for the offenses, especially the Saints, as you pointed out. But I don't think either defense was feeling particularly proud of, you know, 101 points
yep.
combined. I don't think either defense was real pleased about that.
Well, when I say a feel-good game, I'm meaning a feel-good game for the New Orleans Saints, who, like I said, have had a really, really bad season all the way around. So they're willing to take a win any which way they can. The Giants were sitting up at the top of the NFC East with a paltry 4-3 record. I think for them losing this game, it only throws more question marks over the entire team. You know, are they really a division leading team? You know, that's what I mean by it being a question mark game and a feel good game for the Saints. Go ahead.
They keep finding new ways to give games away. That's been the Giants' specialty this year so far. So, you know, if they want to be a contender, they need to clean up some of that stuff. I mean, they shouldn't have lost this last game. The Saints, they had them. And they let them back in.
Yeah, they did have them. That was a bad loss by the Giants.
Yep.
And, in fact, here, I didn't follow it that closely, but I don't think people were too pleased. And the Giants typically have, you know, very strong defenses, but, you know, gee whiz, you can't let that kind of finish happen. I mean, when the Giants score 21 points in the fourth quarter, you're supposed to win.
Yep.
And it's a very bizarre game, and I'm sure Giant fans were not happy at all.
The total yards in the game, 1,024.
Incredible.
Oof. 1,024 yards in the game. And I'm just doing the math in my head here real quick. 11. There were 141 offensive plays. 141 offensive plays between the two teams.
That's amazing.
New Orleans had time of possession in the game by almost 10 minutes. Yeah, think about that one. You know, you got a game this close where 101 points are put up, and you would have thought that perhaps maybe time of possession would be dead even, right? It would be like maybe 31-29. No, it was 35-25 in favor of New Orleans. Here's another mind-blowing stat for you guys. How about this one? Am I reading this right? Yes, I am. How about 63 first downs?
Wow.
63 first downs in the game.
I think the Bears could have used 15 of those.
Yeah, well, any team out there playing on Sunday could have used about 15 of those. But I think it's fair to say we're not going to see another game like this year. And you may not see one for a couple more seasons, honestly. Wow. That was a heck of a game. Heck of a game.
Yeah, certainly.
101 points and 14 total touchdowns. Yeah, all right. All right, well, there you go. Anything else on your mind there, Richard, for tonight?
Well, I'm here to say the Bears were a bad team.
Yep. Yeah, well,
It's hard to say. It's hard to say it, but they never should have lost that game to the Vikings.
Yeah, they've now dropped to 2-5. In fact, 23. They lost that game 23-20.
Yeah.
I watch that game a bit. What's the? Now I know you're in touch a little bit with the folks out there in Chicago, Richard. What's the estimate for Matt Forte's loss of time?
You know, I don't really have an accurate answer to that. You know, I just haven't looked at a site. I think it's more than a week. That's just a guess. And they're going to go with Jeremy Langford.
Right.
And that's it. You know, they're going to work him.
Right, exactly.
They don't have too many options, but that's one of them, and he's pretty good. But it's, you know, it's a serious situation in Chicago because everybody they have who has talent is hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Or has been hurt. You know, Jeffrey's back, and he's good. They got guys on the offensive line who are hurt. I mean, they have, like, out of, like, 14 key positions, 8 are hurt.
Mm-mm. Well, I guess if Forte only misses one game, that's better than what the initial suspicion was. Because I think when not immediately after the game, but after the game and into early Monday, the reports had been, well, you know, Matt Forte, that could be a serious injury. He could be out for a significant amount of time. And then as things started rolling around yesterday, we started getting reports that, well, okay, back up. It's not as bad as we thought. It's just a bruise now. And, yeah, he may not miss as much time as we thought. So, you know, for the Bears and for Matt Forte, it could have been far worse. And, you know, this is Forte's last season on this contract. So,
yes.
You know, he really needs to come out of this season without an injury in order to, you know, keep his value in free agency up there. So,
yes.
It, you know, for him, anyhow, it would be a good thing to be able to come back right away. So,
yeah, especially in today's NFL, we've seen soft contracts for running backs. I mean, DeMarco Murray, you know, didn't set the world on fire with his deal with the Eagles last year. You know, the big dollars are drying up for running backs, so you don't want to be one coming off an injury for sure.
Right.
And how old is he? 30? I think. Just about.
I think he's 30. Yeah, he's 29, 30.
Yeah, I think I looked it up the other week. I think he's 29.
So he better, you know, come back strong, as you just pointed out, to make himself valuable or attractive, I guess is the word I'm looking for, in the free agent market next year.
Exactly. He's 29, yep. Real quick, Richard, the Bears are playing the hapless San Diego Chargers on Monday night. In my opinion, this is a game that they could win. That's just my personal opinion. San Diego has not been a very good team this season. They've been sketchy. They've been sporadic. Just when you think Rivers is going to have a good game, they don't. They've yet to be able to find a ground game. I think this could be, and I'll be honest with you, I might be inclined to pick Chicago on that one as an upset. What do you think?
I honestly think the Bears are going to get waxed.
Okay.
I think Phillip Rivers will have, they do not do well against quarterbacks that have good arms. And that guy, you know, is going to, like, pick him apart. I think that's what's going to really happen.
Mm. All right.
That's my gut feeling, you know. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I think it's prime time game at home. San Diego is going to be really fired up. Bears won't have an answer.
You heard it here, folks. If you're interested, Richard says, take San Diego and give Chicago the 4 points. That's what San Diego is favored by. All right, Richard. Thanks for calling in tonight. Appreciate it.
Take it. Bye-bye.
All righty. See ya. All right. Well, Richard helped us out there because that kind of knocked off one of the games that we wanted to get into, and that was the New Orleans Saints and the New York Giants, 101 points, as we pointed out, that were scored in that game. Just absolutely, that's just silly. Honest to God, 101 points. Let's go through this one. Let's go take a look at, and hold on here. Let me get my bearings here for a moment. Let's go take a look at the 7-0 Cincinnati Bengals, who went on the road to play the Pittsburgh Steelers. This was one of our games of the week on our Frat House Sports Show last week, one of our picks of the week. And, Cincinnati went out there, 16-10. They beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. God, it wasn't a pretty game, though. Really was not a very pretty game at all. Cincinnati didn't score a touchdown until the fourth quarter. It was 7-6 Pittsburgh at halftime. By the beginning of the fourth quarter, it was 10-6 Pittsburgh. And then Cincinnati, well, they picked themselves up 10 points in the fourth quarter and won the game. What do you think, Brandon? What do you think of Roethlisberger in his return? What was your gut feeling on that one?
I think he may have rushed it to get back for the division matchup against the Bengals. He didn't look very mobile at all, even less mobile than he normally does.
Because they would have we ever seen him mobile.
Yeah, but you know what? He's one of those guys, he can be elusive in the pocket. I'm not saying he's going to run, 50 yards downfield, but he's good at avoiding, within the pocket. He's always been pretty, agile, and he's strong, so he can, move around well and kind of, keep himself out of getting sacked. But he just seemed really, 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 really hampered by the knee. And I thought originally when he went out, they were saying it was a 6-week injury. And he really has only been out, 3 or 4? So he might have been back a little early. Three interceptions, that's not a good thing. And I don't know if any of that can be attributed to the knee or not. You just got a good defense on the Bengals. Got good defense on both sides. I think that's why the points are down a little bit. I think he had, this was your polar opposite of that Giants Saints game we talked about,
yep,
where the defenses kind of ran this game, and lots of turnovers. And, usually when you see lots of turnovers, you usually see, higher scores. So that goes to show you, the defenses weren't, nobody was capitalizing on those turnovers. And if they were, they were just putting up a field goal.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I thought Roethlisberger looked better than I thought he was going to. I was just about to say.
Losing Le'Veon Bell is just brutal for them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, D'Angelo Williams is not a bad complimentary back.
No.
Him and Stewart did a nice job in tandem down there in Carolina for many years. He's going to have to put a lot of this on his shoulders now by himself for the most part. I mean, Le'Veon Bell was, he was like, they were a nice compliment because D'Angelo Williams is more of a power back and Le'Veon Bell was more of a, dodging quick, I hate to compare him to Barry Sanders, but out of that mold of a running back more so than a power back.
Mm-hmm.
So they complemented each other well. So losing him is going to be that's a big blow.
There's no doubt about it. One of the things that I was impressed with Roethlisberger coming back, and this is going to sound a little weird because as you just pointed out, he had the 3 interceptions. But it seemed like, Brandon, every time I looked up and the game was on, or we were checking it out, because as I've tried to describe it here before, folks, we're watching 3 screens at once, and we're constantly moving them around. So different games are coming on at different times, and then we're flipping to different ones. So we're checking in on many, many different games simultaneously, and there's very few games that we're seeing all the way through from the beginning to the end. But it seemed like every time we would tune into the Steelers game, Roethlisberger, I was seeing him fire the ball pretty well, and it seemed pretty accurate. And again, like I said, that my comment there might be completely contrary to the fact he had 3 INTs. But I really anticipated with the time that he had had off that there would have been that he would have been a lot rustier than he was. Now, over on the other side, if you ask me, when you take a look at Andy Dalton, and, we have praised the Ginger Giant here, upside down and backwards this year. As well, he is deserving of the praise. I thought that Dalton looked, this might have been the worst game that I'd seen him play this year. This game against Pittsburgh. He was 23 of 38 for 231 yards. He had a touchdown and two interceptions. Had a passer rating of 64.7 and a QBR of 27.9. It almost appeared to me that, well, look, everybody's entitled to a bad game, and I just kind of felt that this looked to me like it was Dalton's bad game. He didn't look like he was in it. I don't know if he was looking. I don't know if this is a situation where, you know, I don't know what Cincinnati was thinking. It's an interconference or an interdivision game. I would have thought that they would have been a lot more spark from them. I'm trying to remember. Did we have weather in this game? No, that was the Monday night game, right?
Yeah, lots of rain.
On Monday night.
In Carolina.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was the Monday night game. So weather I don't think was an issue in this game. I don't know. Your thoughts on Dalton?
Well, like you said, maybe it was just an off game. Maybe it was just, you know, defense did a good job shutting him down, you know, or taking away. Let's just say, I don't think you shut him down. I mean, they still won the game. You got to give the Bengals, you know, credit for winning, you know, a tough division game. You know, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, you know, that's always a tough, you know, good matchup. So, yeah, you know, like you said, maybe it was just, that was Dalton's, you know, not so hot game of the year. Because he's certainly been on fire this year up until, you know, he's been putting up big numbers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, if it wouldn't be for Tom Brady, you know, they would be probably talking MVP for Dalton. Unfortunately, you know, Brady's actually still outperforming him. I don't know if it's quietly, but, he, you know, every week with Brady, it's 350 and three touchdowns. You know, I mean, it's like it's starting to get, you know, almost like autopilot at this point.
Yeah. Brady right now is ranked number two in the league in yards. He has already put up 2,410 yards. He's throwing the ball at a 69% completion percentage.
Wow.
That's pretty darn impressive through seven games. A 69% completion percentage. Yards per completion. Oh, take that back. Yards per attempt, 8.34. That's not even yards per completion. Yards per attempt, 8.34. Brady's got 20 touchdowns and one interception.
Oh, wow. That's a hell of a touchdown interception ratio right there.
QB rating for the average, 115.8 is his QB rating. Yep.
That's going to be one of the best ever if he finishes at that pace.
That is really, really remarkable. Now, let's see. When you compare it to Dalton, 1,992 yards, 66% completion rate, 8.62 yards per attempt, 15 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 107.6. So,
yeah.
Nothing shabby there. Absolutely.
No, not
shabby,
at all.
But, yeah.
If it would be for Brady, you know, Dalton would be getting MVP talk, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is probably pretty comparable. I mean, he didn't put up a lot this past week, but he's been having a pretty good year up until this past week.
Boy, this past week. Oof. We're going to talk about the Aaron Rodgers in a moment.
Denver
what
put it to him.
World.
The defense.
What? Yeah, but you know something? Holy smokes. What? Man, Aaron Rodgers, I couldn't believe those numbers. Anyhow, staying with Cincy and Pittsburgh. Well, okay, now, I just mentioned Cincy didn't look like they had their feet underneath them for a good portion of that game. They'll get their feet back this week, tomorrow night. They're at home, and they're hosting the Cleveland Browns. Cincy is an 11-point favorite. Pittsburgh, on the other hand, Brandon, is going to be hosting, kind of an unsung Oakland Raiders team. They're going to be hosting Oakland. Oakland is, 5-2 right now, are they?
Yes. 4-3
Yep.
Wow.
I thought
they
were.
They seem like they should be 5-2
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you.
I know. So that to me, you know, Pittsburgh's a 4.5-point favorite, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. Oakland's been playing, and you know what? That would be the kind of game where Oakland just comes in and says, you know what, guys? Play like your hair's on fire. Just do your best, you know? And they would let it all hang out. Because, look, if they lose, they're on the road. They're playing in Pittsburgh. Roethlisberger's back. Nobody's expecting them to win anyhow. I could see Oakland going in there and maybe having a day of it and upsetting the Steelers. I could see that happening. Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You know, if I was picking that game, I'd probably pick Oakland, I'll be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I just like the way they're playing. I think David Carr's playing well. I think they're pretty balanced. Their defense needs a little help.
Yep,
but
sure,
you know, they'll get there.
Yep.
They got some good pieces in place anyway. Compared to the way they've been for the last, I don't know, decade. They've not been very good. You know, the Jamarcus Russell draft probably set them back a few.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt about it. We brought it up earlier in the season that the Oakland Raiders have quietly built a team really the right way. You know, they have addressed specific needs each year in the draft, and they're going about their business, and they're picking up what they need. And they're putting pieces together, and you're starting to see it come together. And I think next year in the draft, you're going to see them really go out there and address the defense, because that is the next thing that they need to go after, is that defensive situation.
I agree with you 100%. And they make the right picks. Look out, they're going to be a force.
Yep.
Especially in that division, because, you know, I think San Diego's clearly on the way down. I don't think the Chiefs are all that, and Broncos are probably going to have to retool a little bit next year.
Yep.
You know, give the Raiders, you know, a piece or two in free agency and draft, you know, the defense the first couple rounds, look out.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I might agree with you. Anybody wants to jump in with us? Our number here, 347-826-9964. 347-826-9964. Otherwise, you can leave us a message in the chat room here at Blog Talk Radio. Or you can hit me up over on Twitter at Frat House Mike. At Frat House Mike is how you can get me at Twitter. Let's jump over and take a look at the Seattle Seahawks and the Dallas Cowboys last week. Seattle went to Dallas and they beat them. One would think they would have. One would think they should have. One would think they would have done it by more than 1 point. But that's the way it came down. 13-12 is how this game concluded. Wow. You know, we just got two games in a row where we're backing up a 101-point game. And then this is the second game in a row where we're talking about scores like this. 13-12. I guess unless you were a Seattle fan or a Dallas Cowboys fan, this is a snooze fest. Matt Castle made his debut for the Dallas Cowboys. 13-25.
No, it was his second start.
Well, was it? Okay.
Yeah. He started coming off the bye, but neither one have been impressive. Sorry.
Maybe that's why it felt like the first time. 13-25, 97 yards, no TDs, no interceptions. I don't know, Brandon, was it a smart move for Dallas to make the move over to Castle?
No. I'm going to say right now, no, I don't think so. I think Whedon didn't lose his job as the backup. I think he came in and he played well. He didn't make a lot of mistakes. He moved the team better. And if you think about it, you know, he came in with a full training camp, unlike Castle, who came in from Buffalo, you know, 3 weeks ago. The week before the bye. I think it was a poor decision to name him the starter, and it's an even poorer decision to stick with him at this point, in my opinion. I think you have a better chance of winning with Whedon as quarterback, not Castle. And I'm not knocking Castle. If Castle's been in camp for the whole season and, you know, had a solid knowledge of the offense and play, yeah, I'd probably agree Castle's probably a better quarterback than Whedon. But I don't like the way they moved at this point in time. I think they could have handled that a little better. And I think they're suffering from it now to a degree.
Now, sounds to me like you're saying that even now, at this point, Dallas probably ought to think about going back to Whedon.
I agree. Okay. And they've already come out and said they're not, which I don't understand.
I know.
Castle certainly did nothing to warrant keeping that job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would imagine, I think there's at least two more weeks before Romo is eligible to return. I don't know how the health will be. But, you know, because they did put him on the injured reserve with the designation to return, which they can only do with one player, and they have to be out like a minimum number of weeks. I think it's like 8 weeks. So they have at least two more, from what I remember from the broadcast, before Romo can even be activated, you know, health permitting, obviously. So, you know, with two more, you don't want to give away two more games if you can help it. In my book, the East is still kind of open.
Oh, well, it's wide open. And the Dallas Cowboys will be playing the Philadelphia Eagles this Sunday night. Apparently one of the reports I read was that, and you would know better than I would, I think, but Romo apparently is throwing on the side now at this point. And I think you're right. I think your timetable is just about accurate. It's about 2 weeks is what we're looking at. Now, when I say two weeks...
I do believe it was the collarbone on a non-throwing shoulder. But I think when it comes to a broken bone, they have to have, you know, they always say they need to see healing, you know, like the bone is mended before they let players come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm not... And I do not believe he had surgery like Dez did. I think that's why Dez Bryant came back as quick as he did. I vaguely remember hearing he had like a screw or something inserted in his foot and it, you know, precipitated a little better healing factor. So, mm-hmm. You know, we'll just have to wait and see. Like you said, you know, it's a good thing he's throwing on the side, you know, I'm sure they've been monitoring it with x-rays, et cetera, et cetera.
As I pointed out, let's just say for a moment that it's minimally two more games. Well, that would actually be only really, what, about a week and a half. But let's say two more games. They've got the Eagles this week, and the Cowboys have the Buccaneers next week. They'd have to be pretty bad to lose to the Buccaneers. Of course, that game is down in Tampa Bay. And the Buccaneers have looked better recently. It really does appear that the Buccaneers are starting to settle in. You know, Jameis Winston's looking a little sharper, a little better. They won that game this past weekend, right? I think Tampa Bay won this past weekend because I believe I picked against them and I think I lost. That's correct. They beat Atlanta. So Tampa Bay, you know, it's not possible that game in Tampa Bay, what have you. And if you still got a Matt Castle led Dallas Cowboys team, you know, you could be looking at a Dallas Cowboys team that 2 weeks from now is 2-7. Wow, that's a big hill to climb to get back into it with just, what, 7 games remaining? 2-7 would be 9, so you'd have 7 games remaining in the season.
Yeah,
that would be an awful lot.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it would be, you know, doable at that point.
Yeah, and in that mix, they would have to play the Panthers. They would have to play the Packers. The rest of the games, they have the Dolphins, the Panthers, the Redskins, Packers, Jets, Bills, and Redskins. So that would be a tough order. That would be a tough order to go out there and have to climb back in over 7 games to get back from 2-7. Holy smokes! Where was I going here? One of the things that I, one of the reports that I read, I've read different, as people know, and I try to get around and I try to read or listen in on sports talk radio from different parts of the country or specifically get in and try to read blog sites from different parts of the country. And one of the things I read a lot from some of the Dallas area, bloggers and analysts, Brandon, a lot of high praise for Darren McFadden. Now, oh, boy, Darren McFadden had a great game this past week. I'm looking at the numbers right now. Darren McFadden carried the ball 20 times and had 64 yards. That's a 3.2-yard average, and he didn't have a touchdown. And his longest run of the day was 12 yards. What in the world are Cowboys fans getting all goofy over Darren McFadden for? Seriously. Honestly.
I think it just goes to show how good that offensive line is. I think we've said it a couple times. You know, it doesn't matter who they plug in, they can put up numbers behind that line.
I don't think those numbers are all that great. 20 carries, 64 yards?
I don't think that's that great either, but I think he had a pretty good game last week. So, you know, and they cut Joseph Randle, who
right.
apparently nobody wants. He cleared waivers today, you know, so, you know, I guess that's, they got to hang their hat on something, Dallas, and it's McFadden, I guess.
That's actually hard to believe that nobody picked up Randle. Little bit surprised, but I'm going to be honest with you.
I've read he still has some issues with the league, though, from the personal conduct. He had some kind of issue early in the season. I know I looked it up. I just can't quite remember what it was. And he could be seeing a suspension. Maybe that's, you know, part of, you know, team wanting to stay away from him until
right,
he gets
right.
that resolved anyway.
That's right. You're absolutely right. I read that, too. Was that a DUI or was that a I forget. You're right, though.
Yeah,
you're right.
It was something that happened in the off season, so.
Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, then he had the shoplifting incident from last season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
That was the dumbest thing I think I ever heard.
Yeah, it really was.
He stole cologne and underwear, I believe.
Something to that effect, right. Yeah, it's kind of like the Jameis Winston, although Jameis Winston, I think, actually got more out of it. He got crab legs. Well, you remember that one, right? That was during his time, right, when he was playing there in Florida. Seattle last week against these Dallas Cowboys. Russell Wilson, 19 of 30, 210 yards, a touchdown, and one interception. Marshawn Lynch carried the ball 21 times for 71 yards. Again, this is a – of course, they lost – they were the ones that lost wide receiver, right? Wide receiver, Ricardo Lockett?
Yeah.
So that was – that. You know, that kind of held things up for a little while and I guess was somewhat emotional because of the manner in which that occurred. But – I don't know, Brandon. This Seattle team just looks so different from what we have been so used to seeing of Seattle over the past two seasons prior. Just so different looking. They just don't look – they look like they're missing about two or three pieces, don't they?
Yeah, on defense. They're not near as good as they used to be. And, you know, it's apparent. To me, it is. I don't think they're as dominating of a defense as they were. And yeah, they lost Golden Tate to the Lions in free agency. On the surface, that doesn't sound like a big deal, but that offense just seems horrible. You know, even worse than it had been in the past. You know, they added Jimmy Graham, who, you know, is a lot of people were saying was one of the top two tight ends in the league up until last season. You know, and, you know, he seems very replaceable in New England with Ben Watson. And he's not really doing much in Seattle, which I think they were kind of counting on. That's why they made that trade in the offseason. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on. I don't think Seattle's in trouble of even not making the playoffs in my book.
Oh, I would agree
with you. They might go from two Super Bowl appearances in a row to not even making the playoffs.
I would absolutely agree with you. Seattle right now is a 4-4 team sitting in third place in the NFC West. You got the Arizona Cardinals ahead of them at 6-2. St. Louis is ahead of them yet at 4-3. Seattle is on a bye this week. Seattle's on a bye this week, so they're not playing. But not making the playoffs for sure. I mean, your division winners right now, if the season concluded, you've got the Giants, the Packers, the Panthers, and the Cardinals, and your wild card teams would be Atlanta and Minnesota. So no, there's no way they're making the playoffs. Not right now. So they better figure out what use the bye wisely, and figure out what the heck they're doing. Because I'll tell you something, it's some really uninspiring looking football. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, this is a team that we're kind of used to seeing up there, ahead and things all the time, and they just look really, really flat. That's the only way I can think of describing it. Just really flat. Team that didn't look flat last week, as we've already pointed out, were the Denver Broncos. And it's about time that they didn't look flat, because that's the way they've pretty much looked for a good portion of the season so far. Denver came off their bye, went and hosted Green Bay. And it was never a game. Let's get it straight. It was never a game for Green Bay at all. Denver won it 29-10. Denver had a 17-7 lead at halftime, and they just continued it on. My gosh, they even had themselves a safety in there. Peyton Manning was 21-29 for 340 yards. He didn't have a touchdown. Still, interceptions are continuing to be a problem. He had a passer rating of 96.9 and a QB rating of 93.6. Now, Aaron Rodgers, we just pointed out before, 14-22 for 77 yards. 77 yards.
Yep.
I think he had less than 50 yards at the half. So in the whole second half, I think he put up like less than 30 yards. My gosh. Incredible turnaround, I suppose, by the Denver Broncos. I'll say it again. I bet against them. I said, no way. There's no way they're beating Green Bay. Sidekick said it. You said Denver. You're saying it was the defense, in your opinion, that you think really, really was the big difference in this game.
Well, they certainly shut the Packers out. I don't want to take anything away from the Broncos offense. I think Peyton Manning looked a lot better. I'm not saying he looked the Peyton of old, but he certainly looked a lot better than he did. He had more zip on the ball. He was throwing better. He was still overthrowing some and underthrowing others, but he wasn't as dreadful looking as he's been, the last few weeks before the bye. And the Broncos have a pretty good running game. I mean, to, fantasy owners like yourself chagrin, they seem to, put up all the touchdowns on the ground. Peyton threw for 300 some odd yards, but he didn't throw for any touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So, but, I think you gotta take away from this, if you're a Broncos fan, that, hey, this team might actually make some noise. I mean, they clearly were put together, for one more Super Bowl run. For this season, and that's, they look in pretty good shape to win their division and see what happens.
Demaryius Thomas, 8 receptions, 168 yards. Owen Daniels got into the mix. He had 3 receptions for 44 yards. Here's a name we haven't heard, I think, all season long. Virgil Green, 3 receptions, 61 yards. Andre Caldwell even had a reception for 24. C.J. Anderson got into the end zone and had 101 yards. Where in the world? I mean, you got to give it to Denver. They must have taken their playbook and thrown it in the trash can and wrote up in a completely brand new playbook for the second half of the season. Honest to God. So you got to give them a lot of credit for really sitting down and examining their navel during the bye week. Honestly. Because look at this. Look at the cast of characters involved in this. Names we haven't mentioned all season long. C.J. Anderson, Virgil Green, Owen Daniels, Andre Caldwell. I mean, absolutely incredible. We're going to throw a new name into the mix this week, Brandon. How about Vernon Davis? What does this do for the Denver Broncos? Some say this is cementing it. They're going to the Super Bowl.
Well, I don't know if Vernon Davis necessarily, you know, guarantees them a Super Bowl, but it will give them the ability to run a three tight end set. And Peyton has, over his career, liked throwing to a tight end. And Owen Daniels and Peyton just haven't seemed to click. So I'm not quite sure, you know, if it's a pass to the Super Bowl. But if Vernon Davis can return to any of his previous form, you know, he's certainly going to make a difference. He could end up, you know, I don't know if he's going to be the chemistry that Julius Thomas had with Peyton. But, I mean, Julius Thomas and Peyton Manning were good for a touchdown a week,
yep,
you know, combined before, sometimes two. You know, so, you know, maybe Vernon Davis can be that guy.
Incredible. Incredible situation. As we look ahead here, we've already pointed it out. Green Bay is going to be in Carolina. We've already talked a little bit about that game. That game will be on our Picks of the Week highlight tomorrow night on our Friend House Sports Show. So we'll reserve any comment on that one until then. Denver is going to be in Indianapolis, and that'll be at 4:25 on Sunday. I think that game it could be really, really quite good, Braden, that Denver-Indianapolis game. Indianapolis has got to find a way to snap out of their problems. You got to know that Andrew Luck is not happy with what's going on, although I continue to hear reports that, you know, it's all being kept very quiet, very hush-hush, but Andrew Luck is hurt. Nonetheless, the Colts right now are still leading the AFC South with a 3-5 record. But you got to think that the Colts are going to come out really, really fired up. They've got a new OC over there because, I haven't read all the details on how that went down or who was in charge of that decision. But apparently Pep Hamilton was very, very, very much liked over there in Indianapolis. And I think I had read that he had actually been there for many, many years. And so when they let Pappy Hamilton go, that came as quite a shock to the fan base. You got to think they're going to come out fired up against Denver. I really think that 4:30 game, that could be one of the better games, believe it or not, that we're going to see this coming Sunday. And Denver, a 4.5-point favorite on the road. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I don't really see how the Colts win the game, I'll be honest with you. I don't think their problems were their offensive coordinator. I think their problems lie on the offensive line and defensive line. This team is just bad on, you know, in the trenches. The skill guys that they brought in to make this, you know, 1 or 8 in it, I don't think Frank Gore or Andre Johnson performed anywhere near, you know, what they were hoping for. And Luck may be banged up. You know, and to be honest with you, you know, being a Patriots fan, I'm not a big fan of the Colts, especially after the whole mess with the Deflategate last year and them saying integrity of the game. Well, you know, you got to look at yourself if you're not reporting injuries properly. And the NFL may have something to say about it till it's all said and done. You know, if it is proven that Andrew Luck has, you know, he missed a couple games earlier this year, and I heard a report that he actually has broken ribs, and they never yep. said anything about it.
Yep.
You know, they were claiming it was a shoulder, it was this, it was that. He still broke ribs. I mean, there's a pretty deceptive move on the whistleblower himself, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, you know, look. New England's never been, you know, saints when it comes to the injury report. I don't think any team is. But, you know, when you're, you know, thumping your chest, being all high and mighty about, you know, integrity of the game issues, you can't be playing games, you know, with your starting quarterback on the injury report.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just seems to be a fundamental conflict there.
I have heard similar reports as well. And I have heard them repeatedly throughout the season, that in fact, you know, the ribs are a problem. And in fact, specifically, I've heard ribs mentioned. That is what I have heard. I don't remember hearing shoulder. I remember hearing ribs, though, on multiple occasions. Who was it that I was hearing today, listening to today? Our buddy Eric Carabel talking a little fantasy, and he said, "No, heck, no way, do not even play. You know, if you've got a better option, don't put Andrew Luck in." That, in fact, the word that they're even getting over on the fantasy side is there is absolutely something physically wrong with Andrew Luck. That, in fact, he's hurt. So that's the word even in fantasy land. That's the word even in fantasy land. So,
yeah. He's certainly not put up the numbers, you know, everybody was expecting, that's for sure.
Not at all. Not at all. And, you know, how bizarre it is to look at that division standing and see the Indianapolis Colts and the Houston Texans up at the top at 3-5. That's just bizarre. That is just bizarre. And I got to think, let's see, the Colts haven't gone, the Colts are playing yet this week. So they got to get their bye in, I guess it would be next week, because they haven't had their bye yet. So neither have the Texans. So, although, let's see, are the Texans on bye this week? The Texans might actually be on, Texans are on bye this week. So the Texans are not in, not on the schedule this week, but the Colts are. You would think the Colts probably get their bye in week 10. All right, let's, speaking of the Colts, let's jump over and take a look at that Colts game from last week. Carolina Panthers and the Indianapolis Colts. Game went to overtime, and the Carolina Panthers, I was talking about it early on in the beginning of the show, Carolina Panthers pulled out a win, 29-26. It was a close game, Brandon, but I got to tell you that I think, as I pointed out, I think it does a lot for the Carolina Panthers bringing legitimacy to their unbeaten streak, because I think this was a team, unlike the Denver Broncos, who, you know, and this was my assessment, and I probably think it's fair to say it was the assessment of a lot of other people out there, analysts and what have you, people that watch the game. Yeah, Denver was a weak unbeaten team. But Carolina, well, they're a lucky unbeaten team. I think that's what basically it was. Oh, come on, it's Carolina. They're really not an unbeaten team. I think this game against the Colts went a long way, in my opinion, to cementing Carolina's degree of being able to make that claim of being an unbeaten team. Cam Newton was not spectacular. I'm going to repeat. He was not. 16 to 35, 248 yards, two touchdowns, an interception, passer rating of 76.8, and a QB rating of 33.9. There really wasn't anything, I would say, tremendously overwhelming about Carolina's performance, except the fact that they were just gritty. You know, when the Colts seemed like, when it felt like the Colts were swinging things back and it was maybe going in their direction, Carolina stayed with it. They were never really out of the game. This was a tough game to play. It was a nasty weather game to play. I don't know, thoughts, you saw it just like I did. I mean, it was a mess. Who would have wanted to have played in that?
I agree with you on all everything. I think Cam Newton, you know, maybe not have had the best numbers on paper, but playing in those conditions, he certainly, you know, is, I think he's solidifying himself as a leader. You know, I think he's living up to his potential than he has up until this point. The only thing like I said earlier when we were talking about it, that I worry is, you know, he keeps putting himself in these positions where he's taking lots of hits, you know, and we've seen him, you know, have injury issues in the past that have slowed him down. And, you know, I'd hate to see that pop up for him. I like the way they play. I think they play, you know, good. They play fundamentally good on both sides of the ball. You know, Cam doesn't generally throw a ton of interceptions. We watched that game, obviously, because it was on Monday night. And the one interception he threw was horrendous. I mean, he threw a ball up for grabs off his back foot. you know, that was supposed to be a, you know, like a 40, 50 yard downfield pass. So, you know, he made one mistake, but he doesn't, he's not big at giving the ball away like that. So, you know, you got to like the way this team's going. That's for sure. I think they're definitely in the right direction.
I would agree with you. Let me chuck some numbers at you here, though, for a moment, because when you take a look at these and you read them as we did earlier in this program, when you read them and we were doing the comparisons of Tom Brady and Andy Dalton.
Yep.
When you take a look at Cam Newton's season-long numbers, I got to be honest with you, you walk away from it and you go, how in the world is he the quarterback of an unbeaten team? Cam Newton right now is throwing, has thrown for 1,523 yards. He's passing at a completion rate of 54%, 7.05 yards per attempt, 11 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, sacked 13 times, and a passer rating of 78.1. What do you make of that? I think the question's legitimate. How in the world is this guy the quarterback of an unbeaten team?
Well,
you know,
does
this
that
is
have
why,
his rushing yards there too?
Maybe let's see. Can I break? Do they give me? Okay, I can get rushing numbers. I was going to say, can we get? No. It's not going to give them to me. Oh, it won't give them to me for passers? It won't give them to me?
That would actually make his numbers better, I would think.
I'd like to see the splits. They don't give ESPN? ESPN doesn't give me splits on that. If I want rushing numbers, it's only giving me rushers. It's not giving me quarterback rushing numbers. Anyhow, go ahead. I can probably find it somewhere else.
I think if you he's probably got, you know, more than, you know, you would think. He's probably in the 300-400, maybe 500 yards area. How many games have they played? They've played 7. All right. So, you know, he may be in the, you know, the 300-350 area of rushing. You know, that adds a bit, you know, to his lackluster yardage on offense. They're not a pass-happy team. So he's not going to be putting up the big numbers, you know, like Dalton and Brady, like we talked about earlier. You know, but I think he's still, you know, you can tell he's in charge. You can tell he's the leader on the field. And, you know, you got to give him, you know, some props for that. I think they've done good job. And he's done a very good job of, you know, what he had to do.
I agree with you. I'm just pointing it out as kind of an anomaly. It's a little odd. You want something more odd? You want some more odd? I'll throw a little more odd at you. All right? That's Cam Newton's numbers, all right? All right. Now, a guy right now that has been benched and is apparently, my guess is it would appear to me, is probably done where they are. And by all projections and all descriptions, is having a horrible season. Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick has thrown for 1,615 yards. That's a little bit less than 100 yards more than Cam Newton. His completion percentage is 59%. That's 5% better than Cam Newton. He's got 6 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. He's got a passer rating of 78.8 versus Cam Newton's 78.1. And Colin Kaepernick is benched and probably done in it with the 49ers. I mean, I'm telling you, you could make any number of cases for the fact that Cam Newton is absolutely right now an anomaly sort of quarterback when you take a look and start doing comparisons one-on-one. Now, you know, why do I go to Colin Kaepernick's numbers? Because I don't have his rushing numbers either. But you're going to the rushing point of it, and you're saying, well, you know, Cam Newton probably has those rushing numbers to help, you know, bolster his performance up, his productivity. Well, Colin Kaepernick's another one like Cam that is a mover and a shaker. That guy runs around the field. We know that. And he hasn't changed his style. I don't have his rushing numbers either. One would think Colin Kaepernick a lot like Cam Newton. And you take a look at it, Colin Kaepernick's numbers are actually somewhat better. Interesting anomaly.
Yeah, it's an oddity, I'm sure, for sure. But you got to look at the whole. I mean, I don't think Kaepernick's been doing what they wanted him to be doing, you know, out of the offense. Where I think Cam is giving them what they're looking for out of him. You know what I mean? In other words, I don't think the expectations from the Panthers coaching staff is that Cam's letting them down per se. Like, you know, clearly if Kaepernick's now being benched, and who's their backup? Who's taking over for Kaepernick? I'm just curious. I don't even know who the 49ers backup is. Whoa. And if it's an appreciable better move or not.
No, I did read. I do know. Darn it all. Why can't I Kaepernick? I do know. I read it just the other day. And in fact, it's somebody we all know. Blaine Gabbert.
Oh, okay.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
Yeah.
No,
wow.
I can't.
Wow. I know.
Wow.
You know, you got to wonder, is Tom Sula one and done? You got to wonder that one. That's another question I throw out there, but we'll save that for another show. Apparently Tom Sula came out today and said, basically, I'm benching Kaepernick for him to sit down and breathe and take a break. So in other words, it might be a one game sort of thing. I don't know. I don't know what, but really, I mean, Blaine Gabbert is, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to work out so well. I'll be honest with you. I was not necessarily impressed with Blaine Gabbert when he was in Jacksonville. Granted, they were bad teams, but you know, Kaepernick at least, you know, took his team to the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, he was, you know, solid enough at one point to do that. So I don't know if giving up on him, you know, is a good move or not. You know, he probably wants a change of scenery, you know, more so than the 49ers, I would imagine. Because, you know, that's an odd thing. That's an odd situation right there.
Sure is.
When I think
sure
about
is.
That, that's not a solid move for the 49ers, in my opinion.
I got a theory on it. It's called tank. I'm serious. I really believe that is what San Francisco's motivation is right now. Is I think that they are purposely looking to tank the season. They got Tom Sula in there. They're going to make a move. They're going to move Kaepernick in the offseason. They can do it. His contract is very, very flexible for them to be able to do it financially. And I think that they're looking to tank and pick up a quarterback maybe with the first or second pick. That's what I'm thinking. Anyhow,
well, that may well be. I don't know that they're going to have any luck trading him, because I don't think any team's going to want to pay him what that contract pays, not knowing, you know.
I disagree.
If he's going to fit their system.
Yeah, I don't agree. I think you can trade him. I think you'll be able to trade him.
I don't think so. I don't. Not under the existing contract.
Oh.
They can cut him. They can walk away. The way the contract was written, it's pretty easy for them to walk away from it. It's not so. I don't think it's real appealing for another team to take it on. Let's put it that way.
Guaranteed.
Because he still gets
him.
A lot of money if he's on the roster. The guarantees kick in at a certain point, though.
Apparently, the guaranteed money for next year is only $6 million. That's it. Believe it or not. Starting quarterbacks right now are making 15 to 18. So.
Yeah, I hear you there.
All right. Well, let me wrap it up here. Want to thank everybody that's been listening in this evening. Many thanks to Richard for giving us a holler here as well and giving us his thoughts on, well, the Bears, of course. Also, make sure you're here with us tomorrow evening, 7 p.m. Eastern time, for our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show, number 217, coming to you right here live at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And then Friday night as well, Fantasy Friday, coming to you 8 p.m. Eastern time. We got the whole gang in. It'll be Nick Sweetness and Caleb on sports and Bobby G and, who else? You never know. You never know who else might be on that program. You're going to want to tune into that one. 8 p.m. Eastern time for Frat House Sports' Fantasy Friday. In the meantime, You know what you got to do? Yeah, I was going to say get out there and enjoy some sports, but I don't know if there is any. Well, there's got to be some hockey. Get out there and enjoy some sports.